Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Also wanted to give out a little bit of a heads up to those of you in the Auckland area, particularly West Auckland is where the new transmitter for Rush FM has gone up. So for the first time ever, you can listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on the airwaves in Auckland, 88.0 FM, I believe. And I think the Vinnie Eastwood Show plays around 6 o'clock, about the same time as the news. I don't know, but I'll have to check out. But check out rushfm.co.nz for the details. Yeah, yeah! Finally got a broadcaster in Auckland. I've been broadcasting from Auckland for like 4.5 years or something like that in one form or another. And I always joked with people, you know, like they ask me when I tell them I'm a radio show host, you know, what frequency is it? What frequency is it? And I say, well, you can't get it in Auckland because people are just too cowardly to play this kind of controversial content. you know, who knows? I might have been right because I actually had to wait for somebody from Hamilton to set up a transmitter here before we could get it played in Auckland. So that's pretty funny, isn't it? Speaking of Auckland and its relationship with Hamilton, I went down to Hamilton on Sunday to hear a couple of dentists speak about fluoride. And unlike a lot of dentists who speak about fluoride, they were actually telling the truth and trying to get out real information about this particular issue. And there was one heckler who arrived. Ken. Whatever his surname is, I don't think it matters. Who was this kind of, according to the people at the Fluoride Action Network that I've been speaking to, is some form of douchebag. I mean, I cannot confirm this, but we've got one of his articles here that he wrote, a blog, sorry, articles. Wait a second, what's the difference between a blog and an article now? Is an article, like, got some kind of officialdom before it, and a blog is just some dude rambling? Maybe it's a little bit of column, a little bit of column B. Okay, so let's do this. And I find the irony here is that the website that he's posting on is called Open Parachute. you know, like that old saying, the mind is like a parachute. It works best if it's open. So naturally, he's a pro fluoridationist, and anybody who introduces any information that's against fluoride is dumb and crazy and believes in mermaids. Yeah. It's about right, isn't it? So it makes a hell of a lot of sense for somebody to have an open mind like that and not look at any evidence and be a propagandist, a scumbag, probably working for the government. And in fact, somebody sent me an article this morning about this that allegedly, there are actually people who are paid by the fracking government to discredit people who talk about this kind of stuff on the web, you know, to troll them and so on and so forth. Now, let's get away with this article in the first place anyway. Okay, NZ experts. I love it how they use the word experts as if I'm an expert because I don't look at evidence or review my own decisions. I'm an expert because I purposely parrot the propaganda that I've been told to and never once think for myself or ask a single reasonable fracking question. I'm an expert. I'm a fracking expert. New Zealand experts deplore anti-fluoridation misrepresentation of science. Now, there's an old tactic from way back in the day, where if you're being a scumbag, the best thing to do is to accuse your enemies of being scumbags. If you're a Nazi, you accuse your opponents of being Nazis. If you're a pseudo-scientific, propagandistic misrepresentative of science that has an agenda and happens to be quite insane, you accuse the people who are against you as being misrepresentatives of science that are quite insane. It's a brilliant tactic. If you're five. Okay. Let me see if I can calm down here. All right, I'm going to start reading this because I'm just, I don't know how other people feel about this. But people who are pro-fluoride are often simpletons. And mean-spirited people. Often self-righteous, full of themselves. Basically just not nice people. Not intelligent people. Not friendly people. Not people that can think. They're just basically well, more or less. You know how fluoride's a toxic waste? Okay. Well, think about the people that support it. They're the toxic waste of humanity. All right? If you support fluoride, you are a human representation of toxic waste. I think I just summed that up quite clearly there, didn't I? I mean, think about it. They cause stress. They cause cancer. They don't do anything good for your teeth. These people are toxic waste. I almost can't even be bothered starting to read this article because it's probably just so full of propaganda. I haven't even read it yet. Just got sent this by the Fluoride Action Network like yesterday. He gets his stuff up real quickly, doesn't he? I usually abhor the concept of science by petition. Science by petition? What is science by petition? Is that kind of like the Diagnostic Statistical Manual where they don't actually come up with any scientific evidence to back up any of the mental disorders that they claim everybody's got and they just vote on it? Is that science by petition? What is that? But I have had a guts full of devoted anti. Just remember, everything that I'm saying now is the direct opposite of the truth. That's how these people operate. Okay, imagine if fluoridation was saying this and just change around the words so that it becomes the opposite. Just imagine this while I'm reading it. But I have had a guts full of devoted anti-fluoridationists assuring me that they have scientific and other experts on their side. Let me just strike that and reverse it. I've had a guts full of devoted fluoridationists assuring me that they have scientific and other experts on their side. See, it makes sense all of a sudden, doesn't it? And the last straw was the attempt by a local supporter of Fluoride Free Hamilton to get the Waikato University Chemistry Department staff to voluntarily stop discussion. See, that's a spelling mistake here, Ken. You know, you got to get your Shiite Muslim together, bro. To voluntarily stop discussing the science of fluoridation. He wanted scientists to opt out of discussing science. Really? Got any evidence of that, bro? That the fluoridationists are actually the ones who are the ones that don't frickin' want any science being discussed because they don't actually know what science is about a hypothesis that you try to disprove so that you make sure that there's actually something valid about what it is that you're claiming or thinking or stating? Oh, wait.
No, you don't, do you? You freaking douchebag.
See, and here's the problem with these fluoridationists. It's not just the fact that they're wrong and they tell you the exact opposite of the truth, is that they also just make stuff completely up. Well, like, okay, what freaking universe do you live in? Where you're an anti-fluoride protester or activist or frickin' community person or whatever, who has reviewed the science ad nauseum, had a look at all of the experts who once promoted fluoridation, all recusing themselves, all turning back and just going, oh my God, I was lied to, and now I feel responsible for having lied to absolutely every frickin' body. And I'm real sorry about that. Okay, so that's what the science has actually proven, is that fluoride is freaking dangerous. It causes cancer faster than any other known chemical. This is according to a guy who worked for the Cancer Research Institute for 34 years. This is professional PhD-backed opinion. Okay? This is not a joke. Except for the people who are who love fluoride so much, because hey, look, toxic chemicals are really bad, right? Except if there's only a little of them, then they suddenly magically become transmuted into a good chemical. Yeah, just a little bit of cyanide, little bit of sulfuric acid. Oh, mate, that's the ticket. That's the cherry on frickin' top. So it was nice to see medical, scientific, and technical people respond a little to this. The last issue of Hamilton's free paper Hamilton News included a list of New Zealand experts who disagree with the anti-fluoridationist claims. The list was whipped up in short time and is not restricted to local people. The statement reads, quote, "The following medical, scientific, and technical experts deplore the misrepresentation of science to support the beliefs of the anti-fluoridation lobby. The true science of water fluoridation has, quote, shown that drinking water fluoridation it reduces the incidence of tooth decay, not shown that drinking water fluoridation has any ill effects on general health." And this is just a complete lie. And naturally, they've got a big, big bunch of Waikato District Health Board people, doctors ad nauseum, all signed on to this. Okay, so who's paying you? Who's paying your salary there? Oh, the Waikato District Health Board. Okay, and does the Waikato District Health Board have a stance on fluoridation? Yes, they do. And what is that stance? Well, they support it. Okay, and do they have any science to support that stance that they support? No. Oh, but they keep repeating that they do. And without showing any of the frickin' evidence, and only actually showing a group of people who are doctors who can't frickin' think for themselves, who get paid by this organization to say this, otherwise they get probably fired. I mean, come on. See, here's my problem. I can think. If I wasn't able to think, this stuff would look really, really reasonable to me. Oh my God, a whole bunch of scientists say this particular thing. and I wouldn't question. Hold on. They support all this thing. Where's the evidence? You're just repeating a statement over and over again. I haven't seen one scientific paper referenced. I haven't seen one case study referenced. I have seen no references of any kind ever. And I would also look at the fact that this big list of people says at the very top of it, advertorial, which means it's not a scientific-based freaking conclusion, which means that somebody's paying for this advertisement to be put in there. So hold on a second, hold on a second. You got, what, umpteen numbers of doctors signing on to an advertisement, therefore fluoride is good for you. Did anybody else think that maybe those people who advertise stuff to you aren't all the time telling the 100% truth? That they're actually more likely to be full of crap otherwise? You know, that kind of thing? Especially if they're being paid for it? Especially if they don't toe the mother-fracking party line on fluoride, they might actually get fired and get out of their cushy district health board jobs? Did anybody else think about that? Am I alone in this or something? Come on. I just really don't like these people. Now, here's an interesting thing. There was quite, and I mean quite, a lot of information that was given out during that fluoridation meeting on Sunday. Guess how much of that information made it into Ken's little blog? That's right. Get none. So this is how the fluoridationists work. Okay. We give you 2 hours of content, 2 hours of graphs, 2 hours of scientific reference notes and studies, the opportunity to write in questions and get answers from the panelists, and how many sentences can you squeeze into a minute? You know, I don't know. Like let's say there's a page or whatever. So there's 120 pages, give or take, of information that was released to you during this particular meeting. And none of it comes into your little blog, does it, Ken? You know why? Because you're a pathetic, unthinking, unwavering, staunch supporter of established, indoctrinated, dogmatic thinking processes. Which means there aren't actually any thinking processes going on, Ken! Just shush! Put up or shut up. Come and have a debate, bro. We'll see you again.
Speed Wayne rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually will the corruption in the government leave.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Now, this is a bit of an old article here, but I think it kind of illustrates what we're talking about, is that the government hires shills and propagandists and trolls and so on and so forth to come and try and discredit you on your websites. It happens all the time. And this one's out of the Washington Post. Obama pick for NSA review panel wanted paid. Wait. Wanted paid pro-government shills in chat rooms. Yeah, sorry about that. Cass Sunstein. Anybody ever heard of that dude? He's a guy who was the White House science czar for a time, who called for, quote, cognitive infiltration of 9/11 truth groups. All right? So it's the secret police. It's the Stasi, you know, calling for that kind of stuff. These people are freaking nuts. They're scary, scary, scary people. All right, just think about this. Somebody who's in a position to protect your freedoms is there, in fact, to ensure that you never get any of your freedoms upheld. and to destroy any remaining freedoms that you have. It's that simple. That's every single representative that you're thinking of. You know, maybe possibly a few exceptions, but I doubt it. The Obama administration is reportedly proposing Cass Sunstein as a member of a panel to review the surveillance practices of the National Security Agency, the NSA, among other former White House and intelligence staffers. Sunstein was the head of the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs until last year when he returned to teaching at Harvard Law School, where, incidentally, David Cunliffe, the new Labour leader, was educated. As one of our intrepid commentators pointed out yesterday, while at Harvard in 2008, Sunstein co-authored a working paper that suggests government agents or their allies, quote, cognitively infiltrate conspiracy theorist groups by joining chat rooms, online social networks, or even real space groups, and influencing the conversation. Sunstein's paper defined a conspiracy theory as, quote, an effort to explain some event or practice by reference to the machinations of powerful people who have also managed to conceal their role, and acknowledged that some conspiracy theories have turned out to be true. It also specifically notes that his plan of, quote, cognitive infiltration should only be used against false conspiracy theories that could be harmful to the government or society. Okay, how exactly do you... Basically, it's just saying we want people to be in there and infiltrate and influence the conversation if it's the kind of conspiracy theory that we don't want out there. That's basically it. Yeah. Even then, the suggestions that the government should infiltrate groups that are not actively participating in criminal acts is troubling. In fact, it recalls the abuses uncovered by the Church Committee in the 1970s when the FBI infiltrated such subversive groups as the feminists and civil rights movements. To his credit, Sunstein's infiltration suggestion is different in nature. By this, we do not mean 1960s-style infiltration. This is a quote from this thing. By this, we do not mean 1960s-style infiltration with a view to surveillance and collecting information, possibly for use in future prosecutions. Rather, we mean that the government efforts might succeed in weakening or even breaking up the ideological and epistemological complexes that constitute these networks and groups. I'm starting to get a bit epistemological at this guy now. But while it's nice to assume that the government would limit that cognitive infiltration authority to false conspiracies, history suggests that it would also be used against activists trying to expose actual government misconduct. That's the only thing that they would be used for. The only thing... Look, there is no evidence in all of history. I could say this quite... Notably, everybody who says, oh, there's no evidence for that, there's no evidence for that, is usually lying. But I can say this quite clearly. There is no evidence that when the government starts infiltrating into activist groups or information cells or whatever it wants, that it's there to help you as a patriotic citizen trying to expose corruption in the government. No government ever brings down itself. Is always brought down by the people or through the mixture of its own corruption and scumbaggery that it cannot sustain itself any longer because all of its resources are being stolen and all of the people working for them are corrupt and can't do their frickin' job, okay? It's the only thing that ever happens. And incidentally, the only time when they actually start to infiltrate groups and so on and so forth that are not parroting and puppeting their party lines is to try and destroy them. And to stop them from exposing their riotous scumbaggery. I don't know. You just basically got to assume the worst with these people. You really do. If you don't assume the worst, I can assume that basically you're going to be taken for a ride. All right? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? The paper also suggests that the government, quote, formally hire credible private parties to engage in counter speech. That's counter spin, more like, to kind of spin whatever they... I mean, this is what we're talking about with Mr. Ken and the fluoride thing, isn't it? That sounds like an awful lot like the 50 cent party of online commentators who are paid per comment by the Chinese Communist Party to sway public opinion. I didn't know that. 50 cents a comment? Mate. You'd actually, you know, you could make a decent living off that. Can you imagine how many hours you could spend just trolling other people's sites? Just slapping on a bit of BS. It'd be nice. A man with such a credulous view of government power might not be the best choice to review allegations of NSA privacy abuses. You know? Am I the only one that is, like, remarkably worried about this kind of thing? Maybe I'm not actually worried. Maybe I don't actually care if there's paid shills and trolls and so on and so forth out there. But then again, maybe I'm not grasping the full concept of what's actually going on here. Let's just think about this for a moment. Let's say it's a major newspaper, say the New Zealand Herald or whatever, publishes a positive story about fluoride or something of that nature. And then all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people come in with their BS propaganda, their one-line mantra dogma that has no scientific evidence quotable of any kind whatsoever, and upon a single question being asked of them to clarify what it is that they're talking about results in either abuse or them not answering because they don't actually have any frickin' evidence. Could that put people off? Could that mind control people away from actually wanting to do anything right with this information? Or will they just say, oh, there's some scientists who say that, and I can show you another scientist that says the other thing because I paid him to say so? Well, that argument doesn't work with things like, say, fluoride, for example. Have a look at all the people that are promoting fluoride. They're getting paid. Have a look at all the people that are against fluoride. They're volunteers. You know, you can't make this stuff up. And that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Somebody who's independent, somebody who's not charging for it, comes out and says something, they got nothing to gain, do they? Especially if they get demonized by a bunch of frickin' propagandistic scum. Right? I mean, I'm almost sick of talking about it, you know, because the answers to are just so obvious. I mean, it's real obvious what's going on here. Okay. And if it's not obvious, let me break it down. Fluoride's a toxic poison. The people who promoted are morons because they drank fluoride, which reduces your IQ. Okay, that's it. And there's just copious quantities of propaganda all over the place. And it's difficult to sift through. And what's interesting is, as I mentioned before, about how they just basically say the direct opposite of whatever you are. They basically accuse you of being them. Oh, Vinny, you're a liar. But you're a liar. Oh, Vinny, you're spouting pseudoscience. But you're spouting pseudoscience. Oh, Vinny, you don't have any evidence. But you don't have any evidence. Oh, Vinny, you're being paid. You're a shill, but you're a paid shill. You see what I'm saying? Every single freaking thing that they say. Oh God! Oh my God! I just want to makes me want to tear my own freaking eyeballs out of the socket with salted spoons. Oh God! Just shut up, all of you. He's just so freaking retarded. I don't even understand how you get out of your freaking bed in the morning without tripping over the shoelaces that you can't freaking tie. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm suddenly embodying, I was about to say embalming, I would have to drink Coke Zero for that. I'm suddenly embodying the very thing that the fluoridationists actually accuse people like me of being. Emotional, going nuts, you know, just flying off the handle and so on and so forth. Look, bro, if somebody's telling lies, blatant freaking lies, then I think that you have a reasonable duty to be upset about it. And just be like, bro, just shush, okay? Put up or shut the frack up. You notice how they got this massive list of doctors saying that fluoride's good for you. And guess how many of them are willing to debate Professor Paul Connett in public? I got hundreds and hundreds of doctors, dentists, scientists, toxicologists, chemistry professionals, and so on and so forth. You got all these people willing to sign up to say that fluoride's good for you, but not one. Not one is willing to engage in an open public debate with Professor Paul Connett. Not one. These are all individuals, allegedly. And not a single soul amongst them, if they have any souls, is willing to actually engage in open public debate. What does that tell you? They're all willing to talk behind the scenes. They're all willing to talk when they have advertisements. They're all willing to talk when they're being paid their paycheck. But you give them one opportunity to put their views out in full view of the public, to have them ripped apart and dissected by Professor Paul Connett, suddenly no one's anywhere to be seen. Okay? Debate frickin' over. If somebody don't want to debate, it means that they don't have any frickin' evidence. Okay? And if they lie and say that, oh, well, it's just because you people are all crazy and we'd never debate people who are crazy. Well, hold on a second. If somebody was crazy, how could they possibly argue their point if you're the one with all the evidence, motherfracker? Oh, yeah, that's right. They couldn't. So, ergo, the reason why you don't want to debate them is because you don't have any friggin' evidence. You got none. You're a bunch of pathetic scum. All of you. You are soulless, heartless, mindless scum. And for all means, we should probably toss you into a unfiltered vat of fluoride, of monofluorohexasilicate, that is partly sulfuric acid, that can eat through glass, that can eat through concrete. We'll give you a pair of budgie smugglers to go swimming in it, and when you melt down, including your frickin' bones, into particulate dust, then we want to deal with you. Because then you will know, as you get eaten away by the fluoride, that it's suddenly not that good for you. Is it? Okay? There's two options. If you're pro-fluoride, okay. Number one, enter into a logical debate with Dr. Paul Connett or shut the frack up. Number two, jump in a giant vat of unfettered fluoride and melt yourself away or shut the frack up. Okay? I can't stress it. Maybe I'm being cynical. Maybe I'm just kind of going over the top. I don't think so. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
I got some so-called friends, smile right to my face, all when my back is turned.
Welcome back.
They like to bury me
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Also, Rush FM in Hamilton, soon to be Tauranga, Auckland, and Raglan, I believe. And Ifinity FM, which is down in the South Island predominantly, I think around Invercargill, Dunedin, Christchurch, and Queenstown. You can check out ifinityfm.com, rushfm.co.nz. They're not affiliated, but they both play my show, which is very nice, because now I've got enough stations playing my show to cover, you know, a big chunk of the North and South Islands of New Zealand, which is great. You know, it's really quite wonderful. And I love those guys for doing that. Speaking of which, karma. A lot of people believe in karma, right? Oh, if I do something good will happen to me. If I do something bad will happen to me. BS. Absolutely. 100% lies. Here's why. You ever heard of George H.W. Bush? Yeah, trillionaire, former head of the CIA, drug runner, gun runner, former president of the USA, you know, who's currently still living in lavish lifestyle, even though he's a mass murderer. What's karma done to him? Nothing. It doesn't freaking exist, folks. Okay? If you get a family member murdered, okay, you do nothing about it, that person's probably going to go on and just kill somebody else. But karma ain't going to interfere. I mean, I don't need to belittle people's beliefs here. This is my belief, because I see huge quantities of evil, horrific scumbaggery all over the place. Never being arrested, never being challenged, never having a single bad thing happen to them as long as they live, and they live rich, full lives, and then they pass on peacefully in their sleep. It's actually the direct opposite. Karma's the direct opposite. If you do something evil, you get rewarded for it. If you do something good, you get punished for it. That's the lesson of history. Okay? It's actually reverse karma. It's the exact freaking opposite. Which leads me to believe that the whole concept of karma that's out there is a some kind of manipulated perception. And people will argue with me and say, but what about when they get reincarnated in their next life? Well, what are you going to do, bro? What if they get reincarnated as a cockroach? How are you going to prove that? Okay? It doesn't freaking exist. It's just belief. There is no facts to back it up. All right? Occasionally good things happen to good people, occasionally bad things happen to bad people. But on the whole, bad things happen to good people because they trust bad people. All right? Because they're good, you know? It happens all the time. This is some post on Facebook here. It says, "Don't waste your time on revenge. Those who hurt you will eventually face their own karma. Share this if you agree with the fact." It's not a fact. It's a belief. Beliefs are not facts until you've got evidence that is incontrovertible to prove the case. Otherwise, it's an opinion. It's a belief, which means that it has no actual evidence other than anecdote on occasion to fulfill in the point. Whereas Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, David Rockefeller, and Amschel de Rothschild, and all of these other really, really hardcore, evil, trillionaire, freaking New World Order scum who engage in satanic ritual, who kill people by the millions every freaking year because of their proxy wars and their depleted uranium and their freaking vaccine programs and their soft kill bioweapons and their obesity epidemics and so on and so forth. You have to be insane to think that karma's going to freaking bring justice to those people. No, it isn't. You have to be the one to bring justice. Revenge is not a bad thing if it is done for justice. I believe that. I believe that justice is an artificial state created by man. It does not exist in nature. When was the last time a tiger grabbed a frickin' water buffalo and killed it and dragged it off to eat and then accidentally fell off a cliff or had a whole bunch of other water buffalo take him out. It doesn't freaking happen in nature. Justice is an artificial thing. All right? So think about this. Don't waste your time on revenge. Those who hurt you will eventually face their own karma. Okay. Let's talk about Ted Bundy or some other former serial killer. Well, hold on a second. What about the families? Oh, the families wanted revenge, did they? No, they wanted freaking justice because they had their children killed by these disgusting, satanic-worshipping filth. And nothing to do with karma, nothing to do with revenge. It's about justice, pure and simple. And here's the thing. What's the slippery slope? If you believe in karma, how much do you believe in it? How much? Okay? How much? Are you willing to bet money on it? No? I don't think so. How much are you willing to bet that if I do something really horrible right now, something bad's actually going to happen to me? Well, apparently, there's an extra spiritual aspect to this, which means that if you are... And Sarah was explaining to me this the other day. If you are doing black magic and so on and so forth, as the elite practice in from time to time, one might say constantly, then you have to cast circles of protection around yourself in order to prevent the negative karma, and then it bounces off you and it shoots against somebody else. Okay, so even if that was the case, that they perform these dark rituals and then protect themselves with other spells and so on and so forth to prevent themselves from getting karma, doesn't that void the whole concept of karma in and of itself? That there's an out? Don't you think? How could karma possibly exist if you can just turn it off by casting some kind of a spell? This is what some people believe. They believe in karma, but they also believe that you don't actually have to abide by it. How can you... Doesn't that seem like a bit of a conflict of belief there? Does it seem like it makes sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. You know why? Because it's not freaking true. Here's what you do if you believe in karma. Okay, somebody just stole 10 grand worth of stuff out of my flat. Oh, well, something bad will happen to them someday. I'll just work for another 5 years to try and make up that 10 grand that I just lost. Well, aren't you going to call the cops? No, don't worry. Karma will take care of it. I mean... Aren't you going to call the insurance company or whatever? No. I keep paying my insurance company bills, but, you know, they don't need to be worried about this bad karma and so on and so forth. You know, the universe will take care of me. I mean, come on. Seriously, doesn't that sound freaking insane? As opposed to you call the cops, you find out who this motherfucker is, you get your stuff back, you know? That's the artificial state of justice that you've created by your own actions. That's not revenge. That's not anything nefarious going on. That's just the way the world should work. Of individuals who actually give a frack about their own stuff and you and the entirety of society, actually working towards a better goal as opposed to hoping that some mystical force that is based on your belief and opinion will do it all for you. Evil scumbags get taken out by good people. Good people get taken out by evil scumbags. That ain't karma. That's human nature. People confuse the two. People confuse the fact that, hey, look, nobody has a run of good luck forever. Okay? Eventually, of course, bad things happen to absolutely freaking everybody. It's unavoidable. Unless you're a Rockefeller. And I had this thought about, what's it called? A biological undulating algorithm. Biological undulating algorithm. It's kind of like you know how you see radio signals, you know, on those little machines, like the beep beep beep, like on an ECMO machine or a heart monitor or something like that. Okay, there's troughs in the radio signal, and sometimes there's peaks in the radio signal, much like lines of water coming in as waves on the shore of a beach or something like that. You know, you got your good times up on top of the wave, and you got your bad times down in the bottom in the trough in between the other peak, and then you go back up again, and then you go back down again, and then you go back up again, and then you go back down again. You know. That's what I believe life is really governed by, is sort of a waveform functionality that sometimes things are good and sometimes things really frickin' suck. And as surely as good times follow bad, bad times follow good. Nobody should ever expect that they will have it easy or have it fun or have it awesome for too frickin' long. All right? Trust me. Life will suck again if it's currently awesome. And life will become awesome if it currently sucks. Provided you actually believe it enough to want to do something about it and actually take action. This is what my argument is that if you want karma, you can manufacture it. All right? You can make it frickin' happen. Do something good for somebody. And that person will appreciate you and probably do something good to you. There's no fucking karma involved there. It's just two people having a personal relationship based on mutual respect. Okay? This is not something mystical. This is something real. This is something you can have a true and utter effect on. And people deny it because they would rather not take personal responsibility for the amount of power that they have in the universe to create justice, to create goodness, to create a world the way it should be, because they're too afraid of the responsibility of having that power over time and space and justice and good and evil. That's a lot of power and it's a lot of responsibility, and so many people don't want responsibility. That's why they believe in karma. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.